Good evening, one and all. Yeah, April, and partway through April. I know it goes so quickly. It seems like only yesterday we were talking about end of March, and here we are, 9th of April. 9th April. Well into spring, though. We did have a little bit of snow here in Connecticut last Friday, I think it was. Well, put it like this. When I looked out the back window of the house, it looked fine. When I looked out the front window of the house, there was snow on the grass. I can't explain that. It's not that big a house. It's a little house. Anyway, so but the weather's, as it should be this time of year, a bit changeable, bit sun today, bit of lot of rain, of course, lots of rain here in Connecticut. Anyway, looking back over the years, the universe as it is, we are a little tiny speck, like a grain of sand in a desert, compared to what there is around the universe. In fact, it's beyond our comprehension to understand infinity. We just can't do that in it with our brain as we got it. Everything we know has a start and a finish. But you look at things like the ancient Aboriginals and the Egyptians, and you look at their pictures and stuff like that, and you can see there was possibly people from, outer space, aliens, UFO people, whatever you want to call it, back through those days, all through history, to the cave paintings. We can go and see these signs of it. Now, back in, I think it was 91, there was that whole spate. And remember in Mexico about the UFOs and stuff like that? But before that, there was another big issue, incident, shall I say, which there's a lot of pictures about. I think it was Switzerland, it was in Europe anyway. I better introduce my guest because she can tell us all about this because I'm just getting lost with it all. But anyway, I better introduce my guest because on the show today, I have the one and only Britt Elders. Hi, Britt, how you doing?
Hi, it is a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Now, as I said, you go back and I think there's whole television documentaries on this about visitations from people from other worlds coming, right, say Stone Age Aboriginals, the Egyptians, all the
Right.
paintings and stuff like that. You see these figures. You see these figures with definitely what looks like space helmets and stuff like that on. And yet, people still seem sort of doubt about that. Yet, when you look at it in the true, compare this one world to, it's physically impossible that there isn't something gone through this similar sort of thing, in other worlds. Now, you got into this, well, it's 45 years ago that the original books
That's
came out,
right.
didn't it? Explain what this is that I'm talking about, because I'm not going to attempt the name. I'll let you say it first.
The book is UFO Contact from the Pleiades,
It
Volume
is
One
Pleiades,
and Two.
yeah.
And it's about a contact case. It's a true story about a contact case between a man in Switzerland and a group of beings that look very much like us from the Pleiades. Now, the Pleiades is the star system about 500 light years from Earth.
Oh, so not far, really, then.
Not
Quite close.
that far,
Oh.
comparatively speaking.
Yeah.
And the great thing about this case is it presents so much physical documentation. The man's name is Billy Meyer. He has one arm. He lost an arm in a bus accident. And he's a farmer. He's a fairly simple man, well educated by his travels around the world, around Europe primarily, and the Middle East, but not book learned, not that type of education.
Worldly, worldly wise.
Exactly. And this case began in 1975. January 28th, 1975, he actually heard something in his head telling him to get on his moped and go out into the forest, which he did. He was trying to figure out what it was. When he got there, he saw up in the sky this disk, and it just stayed in one place for a while, and then it began to settle until it slowly landed. There was a sound that accompanied it. The sound was unlike anything he had heard. And then a woman walked from behind the craft. Her name was Semyasa, and she was from the Pleiades. Now, the whole thing, when you just hear that little snippet, sounds like, oh yeah, this is some kind of sci-fi movie. It's not real. However, Billy Meier took hundreds of photographs, 8mm movie footage of the craft, had recorded sounds from the craft, the actual sound the craft makes.
Mm-hmm.
He had metal samples, hundreds of witnesses. How did, in 1975, pre-cell phone, pre-computer, Photoshop, Industrial Light and Magic was just beginning back then.
Yep.
How did he manage to have all of this material? So we went in as an investigative body. We had a company called Intercept, which was an electronic countermeasure firm. We protected financial institutions and Fortune 500s from eavesdropping on their telephone lines and computers. And we went in basically to find out how he was doing it. After 7 years and working on three continents in laboratories that were too numerous to count, no one could duplicate it. No one could say how he did it, especially when you combine all of the elements. Somebody, for example, Robert Post from JPL, said that this case, he didn't know that he could accept the whole concept of contact between an extraterrestrial and a human.
Right.
But he was the head of the photographic lab at JPL, and he could not figure out how the photographs were done. So these types of things kept the investigation going for a period of 7 years.
7 years? I was going to say, how long did it last? 7 years. Oh, wow.
7 years. My husband and I spent over 365 days during that seven-year period living at the farm, and never did we see anything that indicated any of this was a hoax.
Now, how did, you know, he heard the voice in his head,
right,
and get on his moped, now he went. How did they communicate? Did they communicate within his head, or how was he sort of communicated to?
Part of it was telepathic. Part of the communication that he had going with him was telepathic. But they also had, which we have now, language translators.
Yep.
So they had something that they could put their words into, and he could, it would translate it to Swiss German, which mm-hmm. was his native tongue. And vice versa, if he said something, it would automatically translate so they could understand it. Which, that wasn't around back then.
No.
I mean, now we can put it on our cell phones and go, oh, yeah.
Well,
I know what I'm saying in Japanese. But
it's amazing mm-hmm. when you think about things like that, because we said that before. You look at, like, the early versions of Star Trek, for instance, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had the swishing doors, which nearly everything's got swishing doors now.
Right.
You had communicators, which is your mobile phone. You had captain's log, which is a tablet. You know,
uh-huh.
You had all sorts of stuff there. I mean, we haven't quite got the transporter, but I did have somebody on the show a year or so ago, and it is being worked on.
Yes.
And they're working on stuff. And then, as you say, you know, you look at Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and the Babel, or the Babel Fish, whatever it was, you know.
Right.
Exactly what you're just saying. We now can do that. We can now sort of put our phone out and type something in, or say something, and it immediately translates it to. It's what was fiction is now fact.
That's true. That is so true. And it's interesting. Part of the reason that I was really thrilled to have this book come back out is because those things weren't around 45 years ago.
Right.
And now they're normal.
Yes.
So to look back at it and think, wow, how did this all happen? Really sort of takes your breath away. And like you said, when you stop and think about it, and this was the Pleiadian message they wanted to impart to Earth people.
Mm-hmm.
We are not the only thinking beings in the universe.
Oh, no. I mean, it's just not. Well, it's not. You look at the calculations and stuff like that. It's just
right.
not possible that there isn't something that went through the same, you know, sort of thing. And we, even on the Mars and the Moon, you're finding stuff that, you know, it's doesn't seem right. It's not natural stuff.
Like you said in the beginning, just looking back through history, there is not a culture or a civilization that we studied and that we really dug into that does not have some reference to a star entity, a star being.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter what the name of the person or the things are. It's
Right.
the aspect of what they are.
Right.
The other thing, of course, is I think obviously these days people are more open to such things than they used to be. It used to be, it was a, as you said, like a film thing or something like that, or a
Right.
character. But these days people are more open to that. I mean, we know, what is it, 5% of our brain we use or something like that, a really
Exactly, yeah.
small part. We don't know what else we can do.
That's very true.
It's like people say about, their guardian angels and stuff like that. Who's to say that that's not something, a voice coming to you? I mean, how many times have people sort of said, well, I'm driving home this way and I suddenly decided I was going to take a different way home. And I went a different way, and when I got home, I found there'd been an accident down the way I was going to go, or I'm not going to turn
Exactly.
it. I mean, it's something, whether it's your mind, whether we've lived past lives, whether we live in them again, whatever it is, there is something that is there. I had a person on the show, oh, must be, oh, a long while ago, about 9 years ago now, and their theory was that we are part of a big game that's being played in the future, like Sim City, and we are literally part of that game, and these people are moving us around like
Oh my.
characters. Yep.
Well, I guess that's one
Yeah,
possibility.
you don't know. You just don't
You
know.
really don't.
Why do you, I mean, you said about it being coming out now and everything like that. Have you found people are more open to it this time, that people understand the photography, the photographs, that people can comprehend perhaps that this is how they communicated, whereas before they didn't?
Yes, I think that's very true. And the thing that is so great is this younger generation, they get it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They don't have a problem with understanding that at all. Their future may be in space. And so they have a much more open mind to it. I mean, they're talking about now sending a balloon up for like $125,000. You can sit in the balloon, have champagne, and spend 6 hours in space.
Yeah.
So this is something that is part of our future as well as our past. But I think in order to respectfully take our place in the cosmos, if we are going to travel more to the moon and to Mars and even further out, we have to do some realization on our own plane. We have to understand that we aren't alone. And that we have to be cognizant of whatever we do out there may have an effect on something else that we're not aware of at this
Indeed
time.
so, indeed so, very much so. And I think that's an important thing to remember, because we are a selfish world when it
This
comes
is
to,
very true.
and we do not think about, when you set off a nuclear explosion in space, it's affecting other people, might be hundreds of thousands of miles, millions of miles away.
Right.
You don't know. It's like the tree fell in the forest sort of thing. You don't know.
Exactly. But unfortunately, it's very true because the Pleiadians did tell Billy that they cannot interfere in our world yet. They're evolving just like we are, and they're going through their processes of education and knowledge
Right.
as we are. But there would be a point when they could step in. And that is if we were going to demolish this planet. The reason they say that is because they did not originate in the Pleiades. They originated in the star system of Lyra.
Oh,
And
that's a lot
Lyra
further
had
away, yeah.
a war.
Yeah.
And that war destroyed their civilization, and they had to go find a home planet that they could engineer so that they could exist on it. They don't want us to go through that. They actually look at us as their little brothers and sisters. So it's important that we sort of carry that thought with us as we go forward in our own scientific goals and knowledge, that we do have little brothers and sisters out there, and we have to be aware of them too.
And I think that's one of the most, I would guess that's one of the most important aspects of the communication for you, and should be for all of us.
Yes, absolutely. It's this realization that we can't be this little arrogant planet thinking we're the only ones that creation created. We do have to change that, and yeah. We have to start caring for ourselves and each other on a much deeper level than what we do now.
It's crazy. You look at the last, say, 200 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how the whole world has changed. I mean, it's just everything that's developed, just speeding up. And
right.
you look at 2 million years before that, and how much changed in that time. Hardly anything, sort of thing. You know, it's very slow. But now it's, as soon as something is invented, it's out of date. Before
right.
it's invented. I mean, it's just how it is. Everything's rush, and trying to reduce things and trying to do this. You've got to think of that. You know, you've got to look at, like you said, the possibility there could be a downside. It could be affecting other people.
That's right.
Stop being so selfish and remember what else it could be. Have you spoken to Maya recently?
Yes, I have. He and I have been communicating via email, and I spoke with him on the phone not too long ago. He was quite excited when I told him that the books were coming back out. He was just really thrilled because he, like me, he feels that there is a whole new audience out there that needs to be aware and just have a knowledge base going in that is not so permeated with fear. And unfortunately, right now, there's a lot of that out there
when it comes
to UFOs.
Yeah, it certainly is. Do you think it was important to re-release the books because people are more acceptable of stuff like that? Why did you feel it was important to re-release them?
Really, three reasons. The first is because I think this younger generation that is not 45 years old can really get this. They can understand it. And I think they need to hear the message from the Pleiadians because it is such a simplistic and true type of message. The second reason is that we need to have something uplifting to counterbalance the negativity that we so often get when it comes to the topic of UFOs.
Oh, okay, yes.
And this is a very positive case. It has done no harm to anyone. It has only amazing documentation and remarkable statements from the beings. So those are the two primary. The third is sort of a selfish one because I have to be honest, when my husband and I first saw the photographs, we said, nah, they're too good to be true. As 7 years later, we were shaking our heads saying, okay, we can't disprove them. What do we do with it? Here we go. Yeah. It's something that stimulates thought.
Yes.
And we have become, I hate to say this, a very lazy society. We are easily led by somebody saying, this is and this must be.
Don't stop me on that.
Oh, okay.
Living in America these days, we see it every 2 minutes.
Oh, independent thought has gone out the window.
It doesn't exist anymore. It's
no.
Sheep.
And common sense is gone too.
I totally
hope that this book can hit people and make them think and question, because without those questions and that desire to know and learn and not be led or told.
People just don't think anymore. They're too lazy to think.
No.
They want everything spoon-fed to them.
Exactly. It's so unfortunate.
I mean, apart from, you know, this Pleiadians, did the Pleiadians sort of mention there might be people from other worlds, other universes coming?
Yes. They actually told Billy, and this was back in 76, I believe, they told him that there were 108 different civilizations visiting our planet.
108? Wow.
108. They don't need to have contact. They're observing us.
Right.
Like I said earlier, they think we're their little brothers because they say, quote unquote, their forefathers were our forefathers.
Right.
So they're watching us develop and grow and hoping we don't damage ourselves to the point of we can't be repaired or repair ourselves. But they want us to learn to take responsibility, so they observe more than interact.
Right.
There are groups that do interact. When I spoke with Billy not too long ago, I asked him if he had an update on how many civilizations were visiting Earth. And he says, you know, I haven't even thought to ask them.
Ooh.
So, you know, last count, 1970s, 108 civilizations visiting us here.
You see a load of these news shots, you know, where you got, you know, a picture's perhaps taken in, say, 1930s, 1940s, and there's somebody there on a cell phone, or you get another one where they've got a Walkman on their head, or they've got sunglasses, you know,
right?
All these things. I mean, it's only a case of, you know, somebody got their timing wrong with where they thought they were, you know, and what people were wearing at that time. You can't tell. I mean, you just don't know. I mean, there's so many of these things out there. Yeah, there really are.
There are. And now with AI,
to tell what's what these days, I must admit.
Exactly. Unfortunately.
Have you ever seen a craft?
I have. While I was at the farm. My father, who was literally a rocket engineer, he worked with von Braun on the early missile systems. And my mom and I were driving to California. This was in the, 1980s sometime. And we were going over for a family thing. And we saw an object. My mom and I saw it first. And we told Dad, stop the car. And after he argued with us for a while, he finally pulled over and he got out of the car. And he looked up and he says, oh, my God, where would we land that thing? Because it was so enormous.
Yeah, yeah.
A trucker pulled up behind us, stopped. We looked at each other and went, are we really seeing this? There was no sound. You could not hear any source of propulsion. There were little red and blue objects that were flying around it. And it just slowly passed overhead. We must have watched it for about an hour.
Yeah, I mean, but you say that about the no sound and that. The whole thing of things being powered by magnets now. You know, that wouldn't make a sound. It's just a case of the magnets and the, you know, the poles pushing the things apart, pushing them
exactly.
Apart. It's again, it's not that far fetched. What is far fetched is the fact that time is going. So I was enjoying myself so much. I suddenly looked at the clock. Oh my God, where's the time gone? What I'm gonna do now is hand the show over to you and have you tell everybody where they can find out more about your book, the pictures, and everything else. So over to you.
Oh, thank you. The book is UFO Contact from the Pleiades, and you can find out more about it at britelders.com. That's BRITELDERS.com.
Okay. The book is the two books sort of put into one
together.
With the photographs and everything like that?
It's both books combined into one with a new introduction. Shirley MacLaine wrote a preface. Jaime Maussan wrote a foreword. I wrote an afterword. So it has additional information in it as well as the information from the original books. The same beautiful photographs. It's 200 pages and 10 inches by 10 inches square. It's a big photo journal.
If people spot something and think they spotted something, or you wish to, you know, say that something's communicated them and stuff like that, what's the best thing for them to do?
Wow. There is
it's a big question.
There is a UFO reporting group on every corner, literally. No, there is a UFO reporting group up in Washington. They do take that information. I love to hear from people that have sightings and things like that, and you can contact me through my website. There are so many places. and you just go to the internet and type in report a UFO, and your local area chapter of something
yeah,
or other,
I'm sure
a UFO
there is.
Group,
yeah.
will come up. But the more we can coordinate and compare this information, the better it is for the knowledge base of the subject. So
Indeed.
It's very important to do that.
Well, I hope, and I'm sure a lot of people have really enjoyed this chat, and I'm sure the book, a lot of people are going to go and get that book and just see, hey, this is 45, 50 years ago, you know. Look at these pictures, look at that. And then you look at them and you think, hang on, that looks like they've just been flying, you know, something like that in the latest development of this sort of stealth whatever. You know,
we'll get there
eventually. Anyway, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. Really enjoyed it, and a great pleasure having you as a guest.
Oh, thank you, Barry. I've thoroughly enjoyed this. It's been great.
Thank you. Well, there you go. My guest today. How about that? Was that interesting or was it interesting? I knew it was going to be. The one and only Britt Elders. And we've been talking about the Pleiades, you know, back in Switzerland, communication by these people, and lots of pictures, two books, lots of pictures now. I think there's some 8mm film available and all sorts, lots of communications and stuff like that. Very, very, very interesting. Well, that's it for today. I will be back tomorrow with a fresh guest. But until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget.